Matthew's Gospel 9. Say, I have received the burden for ministry. I have received the burden of ministry. I will not joke with it. I will not postpone it. I will not be frivolous about it. I will not negotiate around it. I'm fully given to the work of the ministry. It's taken my whole life. It will take much of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. And now that abroad is not out of the country, amen. As sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. And that is a state of misery, to be miserable. Sheep having no shepherd. That means as a Christian, you mustn't have a time in your life where you are not among believers, where you receive nourishment. And I showed you that who led Israel out of Egypt, you say it's Moses. You also say it's the Lord. You know, Jesus told them in Matthew's Gospel 28:20, he said, lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. I'm with you always. That's what he told them. So you can say we have the ever abiding presence of God. In John 14:16, say, I pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he knoweth him not, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You know, that's beautiful. But you know, upon the resurrection, he calls Peter. He says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than this? He said, Lord, I love you. This is, I've been giving them the Spirit. He's going to be with them forever. He says, feed my lambs. Now he's with them, right? The Lord walking with them, Mark 16:20, and confirming the word with signs for, and he's always with them. Lo, I'm with you always. But he now uses men. He said, feed my lambs. He asked him again, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? He said, I do, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. He said it three times. And the Greek of that word means oversee them, rule over them, feed them, pastor them. Now, it's not in the absence of the Spirit that we are pastored. It's because of the presence of the Spirit. It's not in the absence. Jesus didn't say, you know, I'm not going to be around, you see, so I really need you to fill my space, you know, I'm going to be away, you know, and since I'm going to be away, you're going to hold forth for me. No, I'm going to be right there. But because I'm right there, I'm going to be walking with you. So every time we talk about, you know, the indwelling of the Spirit, we're talking about the walk of the Spirit in the earth, in the nations of the earth. God does it through men. And that must be very clear, very, very clear in our minds. He does it through men. So, when he says, lo, I'm with you, he uses agents. That's why he said his prayer. Because the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Now, what is the harvest there? The harvest there is that there were people having no shepherds. So the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he may send forth laborers into his own harvest. That's what he prayed. Lepers into his own harvest. So God doesn't need islands. He doesn't want islands. He wants shepherds. He wants true caregivers That's what he's asking for. That is what we should ask for. Not CEOs. Not those who want to use the church, the work of the ministry, to promote their own personal ambitions. So we saw that this text is derived from the Old Testament. We saw it yesterday, Numbers 27:17 and 1 Kings 22:17, referring to the king over God's people. And we said the king is not like the other nations. It's not like the other nations. We don't run the church like a business organization. It's not like the other nations. We don't run the church like an NGO. It's not like the other nations. We don't run the church like a football club. It's not like the other nations. We don't run the church. We don't oversee the church with the work of the flesh. It's not like the other nations. True shepherds. Real ones. And we saw that last night into the morning on the contrast with Saul. God gave them what they wanted. Be careful what you want. Did you hear that? Be careful what you want. Be very careful what you want. God gave them what they wanted. So the shepherd in Ezekiel 34 I'm going to read just two texts for us because of time. For thus saith the Lord, verse 11, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now notice what he says here. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Then he says in 13, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel. He said, shall their fold be? There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, said the Lord God. Look at 16. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. In other words, the true shepherd, right? He seeks the lost. If you ask people now, this is what we call today the office of the evangelist. The man who goes out to preach. But this is the work of the shepherd. It goes to get the lost, the unsaved. So a true shepherd is busy and passionate about winning souls. Very passionate about winning souls. It's not someone who wants to sit in the front. No. He's passionate about winning souls. He goes to seek out. Because the people that are scattered abroad, they are God's inheritance. So when Paul was praying, and I've told you that before, the inheritance, you know, we've been having very bad doctrine around. We say inheritance. And you say, I want to show people their inheritance. People teach that and say their inheritance is, and they link it to usually what people call your inheritance in Christ are your desires. So you can walk in your inheritance. You can walk in your inheritance. And what they are referring to are your desires. What you want. But that's not the Bible teaching on inheritance. It's what is his inheritance. So when Paul was saying in Acts 20 and 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, He says, which is able to build you up. Then he says, and give you an inheritance amongst them. You see, the moment you are not in the context of that audience, because what was that audience about? From verse 17, he called the elders of the church. The elders of the church at Ephesus. Those are the people he called. So it was a ministers, leaders meeting. So the context is that he's talking to leaders. Laborers. So when he told them, he said, look, I have kept back nothing. Acts 20:20. That was profitable unto you. And taught you both publicly and from house to house. Then in verse 28. Acts 20. He said, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Then he says, feed the church of God. That word comes back again. We saw it in Ezekiel. Alright? We saw it in John 21. Feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Acts 20 and 28. Then he tells us that, you know, he said, after my departure, this is Paul, you know, shall men, grievous wolves coming in the flock. And he told us why. He said they will not spare the flock. Those are users, manipulators. They want to use the flock. I told you there was a guy who invited me. He said that I wanted to come and speak for us, Pastor Chris. I said, fine. That was 2016 or 17, I think, one of the 2 years. And he said, you know, we have this project. He said, we're trying to raise 18 million. Okay? He said, and we know that people want to hear you. And they like you. You know, so when I see the same person today, he's criticizing me on social media. We both know why. I won't mention his name. We both know why. So he said, you know, people like to hear you, Pastor Chris, you know. So we promise you that if you can help us raise that amount, we'll give you 6 million. I saw him. I said, okay. I said, please check your phone very well. Did you see this number? He said, I can see it, sir. If it calls you again, don't pick it. Neither should you call it at all. You and I will have nothing to do again. He said, no. I'm sorry, sir. No problem. If you cannot raise it, no. Maybe you don't want... I said, no. I'm not coming to your church again. It's not a church. You are running a business center. You are bringing a preacher to come and collect money from the people. There's nothing wrong in telling people we need money and asking them to give. But don't bring a preacher to manipulate the people. I had some guys like that, and they teamed up. They now brought in a preacher. They said, we want to raise so and so amount of money. About 20 years ago. 21 years ago. And they said, we want to raise so amount of money. They said, this is the target. They gave the preacher a target. So the man came the first day, he did everything he could, but the money did not come in like they wanted. So they went to meet him in the hotel room. Oh boy, you have not met the target. They said, maybe you change your sermon. The sermon was not harsh. You know, the thing is that, they saw me seated, and the two of them were discussing it. So I was there. So they said, then the second day, because I was amazed. And they were saying it. And they were, you know, because we are all pastors. They were smiling. And then they said, they brought this guy the second day. And then the second day, the guy now, he hits the target. In fact, the people did not know, they didn't know what he came to do. You never see him coming. They did not see him coming. They didn't know what he came to do. If I somebody who was in the meeting now told me that she didn't know when she removed her earring, I said, you've judged you. He twisted the scripture, twisted it. You know that the way you can turn something to the thing stops turning. He twisted the scripture stopped turning. He said, enough now. Then he collected the money. And they raised 250,000. And it was a campus church. That's 20 years ago. 21 years ago or so. So as I was saying it, they noticed that my countenance changed. And they looked at me. So it seemed like if you are not happy. I said, no, I'm not. Why would you do that? How could you just have said, guys, we need 250,000. Come and give. That's how to do it. So he says, feed the church. He didn't say feed on the church. Maybe it's the feed that is a problem there. Feed the flock, not feed on the flock. Which he has purchased with the blood. So that's the context. So when he got to 30 and 31, he said, you know, I've not ceased to warn. You say, okay, some will come in, not sparing the flock. Then the sad part, that wasn't the sad part. The sad part was even from among you. And it came to pass. Because he had to send Timothy to the same place, Ephesus. You know, I told you, some people will never listen to warnings. Be saying it like this. Explain it. Pray. Say, for among you, he sent Timothy. You look at the revelation again. He sent John, that same church, Ephesus. He sent John to write again to the angel of the churches. And he mentioned Ephesus. May our churches never become like that. A place Paul stayed, you know, if you look at his missionary journeys, that was the church he stayed the longest. Yet, look at how it turned out. Because of disloyal, unfaithful, unreliable, you know, men. So he told them, he said, I didn't cease to warn you night and day. For the space of 3 years. Acts 20:31. So I commend you to God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, verse 32, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Don't tell people that, you know, don't raise money for the church. The church building is a church building. You call it the church building, so they think it's a new good stuff. But a church building is in your name. It's in your name. Of course, they'll put Word of God International, Word of God Churches. We had a name we used to use back then because we believe nobody should bear that name. We say Zomo Zomo Ministries. So that nobody will say you are mentioning his church. Zomo Zomo Ministries, aka Christ for all nations in the body of Christ to the glory of God International Churches. So we believe no church until I saw a name. The apostolic faith has overcome the apostolic church, international churches. Eh? The apostolic faith has overcome the apostolic church. That was the name of the church. We say Zomo Zomo Ministries in the 90s. You know, you can put the name and say, glory of God, so and so, but we know that everything that is bought is in your name. So you can say, we're doing it for the Lord, though. And you are the Lord. So be honest. Is that okay? So from amongst yourself will some arise. Look at what he said they will do in 29. He said they will speak perverse things. They will just decide to be saying something different. Why? So that they can draw away disciples after their own self. That's the point. So that they can draw away. You know, one of the seeds of rebellion is you want to say something different. It's not because you want to bless the church. It's because you want to draw people after you. That's the essence. It's not because you want to bless the church. You just want to say something different. And you know, it can easily be done because people will have invested trust in you. Invested trust in you. Some of you who are branch pastors of your churches, that's one of the first ways you want to break away from the church. You start to say something different from your senior pastor. The reason is not because you want to bless people. You are having a plan. It's a simple, go and listen to the teaching we did in 2019, how churches emerge. Remember that teaching? Aha. It's something you should be listening to again and again. How churches emerge. How they emerge. I know people, for example, that was how they broke away the churches that was put under their trust. They broke away. So anytime you are teaching on honor and loyalty, they are uncomfortable. It's because of the history that they have. I called a young man, younger than me, because I'm a very young man. And I called him, and I said to him, "You are about to leave this church." I told him my own personal story. I said, "I've been an associate pastor. I've helped people start their churches. I've helped people pastor their churches." I said, "But here, what am I about to say?" I said, "Because of the training that we got by the instructions of Kenneth Hagin, that I ensured that I never broke any." I said, "In instances where I had to leave, because I was an actual pastor and I had to leave, I said, I will leave the town completely. And where I do that, I'll give you 2 years to start off any work." And I said it deliberately. But the young man felt I was being legalistic. I don't have a problem with that. I'm a lawyer. So, you saw people like that? Say, this is the flesh. So they begin to say new things. The pastor will say that what we need at this hour is wisdom. They will go to the church. Under the pastor, they will say, what we need now is prayer. It's not because they want you to pray. It's not because they want you to pray. It's because they are about to get your attention. You know, it's not prayer that is in the mind of the person. And the foolishness of those things is everyone who follows you in that path, they will eventually leave. It's 100% assured. Everyone who does it with you said they would now start to speak perverse things. Maybe your pastor is quoting the Septuagint. You now say, masoteric text. There's a reason why you are doing it. It's not because you want them to be blessed. The Septuagint, do you even understand it yet? Before you had masote, you know why you are doing it. You know? The pastor says, let's have 2 hours prayer meeting in all the churches. You decide your own is 2 hours 45 minutes. It's not because you want them to pray. If you really wanted them to pray, you call the pastor, "Sir, we're praying to, I'm just thinking, is it possible? Would you allow us to do 45 minutes extra?" Don't say, "God told you." That's manipulation. The pastor can say no. And pastors should learn to tell people no very often. That's how you know people. When you say no. Say, "Sir, no. Should I pray?" "Don't pray." "No." Hallelujah. It will help your life. Hallelujah. So, you have such people. Don't become... And you know, the truth is, a good shepherd can turn to a bad one. That's what we just saw. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. That's what we just saw. Paul raised them. He nurtured them. Yet from amongst them will men arise, seeking to draw disciples after their own self. Are you there? So what is God's inheritance that is our own? His people. The nations. Psalm 2. This is where Jesus spoke about the Great Commission from. He said in verse 7, "I'll declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, ask of me, and I'll give thee Ethan for your inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for your possession." So when he was saying, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is what he was referring to. The inheritance. Our inheritance is not material. Our inheritance is not something tangible in the material world. Not at all. No. Look at Romans 4. Romans 4. About Abraham. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but it says, but through the righteousness of faith. But he they which are of the law be heirs, he says, faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect. So the heir of the world, same thing. When he called you to an inheritance, he called you to the work of the ministry. So the inheritance of a believer is the work of the ministry. Is that clear? That is your inheritance. That's what God gave you. It's the work of the ministry. So, yesterday, so we don't go over that again, we said the shepherd is a servant king, right? Okay. He's a servant king. That's what he is. So just like Israel had to be retaught, change your idea of kingdom and king. Don't think like the world. A servant king, a priestly king. Genesis 14:18. Melchizedek, a man who served. He served Abraham, then blessed him. Genesis 17, verse 6. Nations and kings shall come out of your loins. Genesis 35, verse 11. Genesis 49, verse 10. Judah. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Servant kings. Servant kings. So when we say the kingdom of God, we're referring to the work of the ministry. Is that very clear? John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man is born of water, verse 5, which refers to the Spirit, he cannot enter. So, as soon as we are born again. So you can't call the kingdom of God the a worldly setup. It is by the Spirit of God. You enter it by being born by the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit. So, when you are born again and you are in God's kingdom, you start to serve as a king. So, we saw that. So, it's not, and I showed you yesterday that when Israel was given a king, it's not because it was wrong to have a king, because Samuel was their king, right? Come on. Samuel was their king. Eli was their king. All the judges, including Samson, those were kings. Moses, Joshua, those over God's lot, God's inheritance, God's people. But then, because they knew, notice what happened in 1 Samuel 8. They knew that, you know, Samuel's kids were badly behaved. They knew it. And sometimes people take excuse. They use the excuse of a badly behaved leadership to now rework Bible leadership. They knew it. That these guys were not, they were covetous, they were unruly, this couldn't fit in leadership. So say, we don't even want, and that can happen to us. The moment you hear bad news about someone who should be a pastor, you say, we don't even need all these pastors again. We don't even, and then you think you have a say. You are taking advantage of the fact that someone had erred. You don't have a say. You say, yes, I've been saying it. All these things, so we're not ready for this conversation yet. All these things, And that was what they were doing. They told him, see now, these guys cannot pastor now. I mean, look at what they wrote about them on Twitter. Look at what they said on this one. They say, you know what? We've had enough of all this Holy Spirit leadership. We have enough of all this teaching. Give us a king like the nations. And so they decided to describe the kind of leadership that they wanted. And I told you, you don't choose for God. God simply allowed them. And we saw the kind of person Saul was, right? he was well fitted to the bill. Handsome guy, well built, debonair, you know, charismatic. Maybe he wasn't, I don't think he was. But a good guy, you know, well to do family, you know, and all that. Not given to spiritual things. But he understood business, innovation. And God gave them what they wanted. And he gave him the Spirit. But the guy was so unschooled. As soon as Samuel poured oil on him, you know, what we read in David's case, as soon as the oil was poured, he said, the Spirit of the Lord came on him from that day forward. But in Saul's case, he said, do you know what has happened? He said, I don't get it. He said, I don't get it. You just poured some stuff on my head, man. Okay, he said, alright. Do you know Holy Ghost meetings? Do you know camp meeting? And why is it camp? He said, no, the flow of the Spirit. Flow? Is it water corporation? He said, you know, okay, go to the healed. Huh? You see some people. They'll be praying. So what do I do? I should hang out with them? He said, don't hang out. Go there. Join them. Whatever they say, alright, so I just flow with them, right? I'm cool. So he goes there. That's exactly what they wanted. The same with some people, when they ask them, who do you want to marry? They will now make a man after their likeness and in their image. A human being that does not exist. Everything is perfect. He smiles at the right time. He laughs at the right time. She's this one. Even if you make a human being, can this ever happen? Alright, so we saw that this is a Genesis fact. Okay? In Genesis chapter 1, now I'm going to talk this morning about the blessing of the ministry. What did I call it? The blessing of the ministry. Again, it's one of those words that has been largely misconstrued. Because when God made mankind, better still, Genesis 1:26, it says, in our image, after our likeness, they employ two words there. The first one is word selem, T-S-E-L-E-M. And I explained to you that that word is primarily an Akkadian word. That is the word salu. It refers to a statue used in that cultural context to represent a supernatural being. Concrete, fixed, it's representative. They believe that that statue is in union with a supernatural being. So let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then the next thing he says, he made man, verse 27, male and female created he them. Then look at 28. In 28, which is the second time, you are going to see the word blessed. Then he blessed them. He blessed. So, we have the work of the ministry. You are in his image, after his likeness. You have received this ministry. You have received this plan and purpose. Then he blessed them. And said. And you see, this is so consistent, you cannot miss it. He blessed them. Now, the word blessed is the word barak. It means to congratulate. It means to welcome. To congratulate, to welcome. But the root of it is to place value. To place value. To place honor. Say, God's honor is on me. Say, God's honor is on me. To place value. To show worth. That's the word blessed. So, he blessed them. Now, you see something very consistent about that word, blessed. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Now, that was not the first time that you find the word blessed. It was used earlier in verse 22. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And fill the waters. Three words that were repeated. The only two words that were not repeated is subdue and have dominion. Be fruitful. Fill. Be fruitful. Multiply. Now, in chapter 9, verse 1, same thing is repeated to Noah. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish. The word replenish is the same word to fill. Replenish. Same word. So, something is consistent. The word blessed relates with multiplication, right? To fill up. To bear fruit. That's the blessedness. To fill up. To multiply. To bear fruit. Again. In Genesis 12. Verse 2. I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curses you. Now, look at the implication of that in chapter 17 and 16. I'll bless her and give her a son also of hers. Yea, I'll bless her and she shall be mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Notice that it also comes with increase. Nations. Chapter 18. Verse 20. Same thing. Same chapter. I bless him and I'll make him fruitful. I'll multiply him exceedingly. I'll make him a great nation. Chapter 18. Oh, I skipped something. Chapter 14. How did I do that? Melchizedek. He blessed Abraham. And he says, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. He says, blessed is the Most High which has delivered thine enemies to their hands, and he gave him a tithe of all. Look at chapter 18. And verse 18. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now look at chapter 22 and 17. That in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as a sand which upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And verse 18, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So, the blessedness, right, means we are welcome. Value has been placed on you. And it is for a purpose. The purpose is to multiply. Someone say multiply. Say again, multiply. Is to multiply. It's to be much. The blessedness here is to be, to multiply. Not even to double, is to multiply. Look at chapter 24 verse 1. And the Lord had blessed Abraham, he says here, in all things, but I'm going to read verse 11. And he made the camels to kneel down without, see the word kneel down there, is that same word blessed, to kneel down. To kneel down, to accept, to welcome, to place value. And that's why it's used multidimensionally. We use it also to praise God. To praise God. Because we see value on him. Not because it's going to get bigger or better, but because we see value on him. So the blessedness here, if man in the image of God, is a task, a purpose, an identity that brings function. And then it says, he blessed man. And said, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill up. That's the word we play. Fill up. Be fruitful. Multiply. We're going to see it one by one. Hallelujah. Are you called to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ? Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I don't think I heard you.
I'm blessed.
Say it again.
So
what is the blessing? Said the blessing is to be fruitful. The blessing is to multiply. The blessing is to fill up. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. But it's not referring to material blessing. No. Not at all. Watch this now. You see it in a moment. Now look at the second word, the other word. In Genesis 3:14, the opposite of it here, it says, because you are cursed above all the cattle and the animals. The word is arar, A-R-A-R. And in this instance, it means to remove. To remove. To forbid. But notice something very vital in the statement here. In verse 15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed. Thy seed. Seed. And our seed. So seed is mentioned there. Cursed. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. This is to Cain. You are cursed from the earth. You are cursed from the earth. Which had opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You are cursed from the earth. Now, come and see the effect of it in 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So what was the curse? He was banished. He was not allowed. What is the blessedness? You are allowed in. What is the curse? You are forbidden. So in chapter 5, verse 29, when Cain was born, they said, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." You see the same thing in chapter 9, verse 25. Canaan, again, his seed. So, the focus of the curse is on the seed, what you produce. What you produce. Do not forget that, pay very good attention here, in all the cases of the cursed one, whether it's the serpent, the Nakash, whether it is Cain, chapter 4, verse 11 and 15, whether it is Canaan, it had nothing to do with material possession. The three elements here had material possession. In fact, in Luke's Gospel 4, Satan said to Jesus, he showed him the kingdoms of this world and his glory at one time. He said, "All this kingdom has been given to me." That is a cursed being. In Cain's instance, he built a city. In the Canaanites, they had a whole, almost a continent to themselves. Allow me to use that word in the ancient world. So that's not the focus. So what is the blessedness? Is an involvement in God's plan. A cursed man means he is not in God's plan. He's not walking in God's purpose. And another word I'll define, cursed, is a function of chaos. When you have tohu wavohu, Genesis 1:2, that is the curse. Without form and void, empty, disillusioned, miserable, wealthy but without purpose. And none of these folks, cursed ones, was about longevity or dying young. No. It wasn't even sickness. No. It wasn't sickness. It wasn't disease. It wasn't poverty. It's the fact that the Spirit of God, the life of God, was not working with them. That's the curse. Are you following this? A banishment out of Eden, out of God's plan, it's not material. It also means that the fellow is forbidden. He's stopped from coming in. That's what it is. So, when God said, he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish." Pay attention somewhere. In chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord said, chapter 6, verse 3, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Notice this is the second time, really the third time technically, that you read the word spirit in Genesis 1:2. Technically Genesis 3:8. The word cool of the day there is actually pneuma in the Greek and of course ruach in Hebrew. But it's the third time that he says, "My spirit, my breath shall not always abide in man." So this is the curse. The absence of the work of the Spirit. The absence, a withdrawal, an absence of the work of the Spirit. Now, how does it matter now? Because in Genesis 1, to remember, when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The next statement says, the earth was tohu wavohu, was without form and void. Then it says, the Spirit of God. That's how God reorders things. The Spirit of God hovered, moved upon the face of the deep. Then it says, and God said, verse 3, let there be light. So we are dealing with chaos and order. Chaos means out of function. Order means to function properly. I told you yesterday that when the ancient Israelites says create, create doesn't mean a start. It means to reorder something. For it to start functioning in its purpose. So the blessedness, right, of the Spirit comes with an increase, multiply. So just like we said, the Genesis word, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, we looked at the word reshit yesterday, and we said it could mean first fruit, a fresh start, a period, topmost, where a seed is sown, expecting a harvest. Okay? So, the blessedness of the work of God comes with multiplying. So, a man that carries the consciousness of the blessing of God will want an increase. To multiply himself. To multiply ourselves. So, the blessing of God, right, does not deal with few. It's to multiply. It's to increase. Say, I'm blessed. I don't think I say, I'm blessed. So, which means the Spirit causes us to multiply. The Spirit is given to us to increase, to multiply. That's the work of the Spirit. To multiply. So when you hear blessed, it means more. Blessed, multiply. Blessed, increase. Blessed, addition. Hallelujah. And the addition refers to people. Anytime you see a ministry or a Christian place value on things and not on men, that's what the awkward, ridiculous materialism gospel does. They put value on things, not on men. So the multiplying here has to do with people. To multiply. So, in your thinking, hear this. You must think like God. In your work of ministry, you must think like God. You could start one way. You could start in one way. But determine not to stay that way. Is that okay? And it means also that the blessing of God, when it's working, it makes you always active. Say, I'm not cursed. Say, I'm blessed. What's blessing again? It brings increase. You multiply. You multiply. In fact, it says exceedingly great. No wonder Moses gave instruction they should not number the nation of Israel. He said, don't do that. Because the blessing is meant to keep increasing you. And you see that when Jesus said to them, you know, after training and teaching them, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the blessing. Mark 16:15. In Matthew 28:19. Make disciples of every nation. Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. As a pastor, as a leader, you must inculcate into everyone listening to you the blessing consciousness. You must shake away every attempt to create a cult after what you are doing. A cult is so difficult for others to belong. And sometimes some of us have put barriers. Barriers upon the work, upon what we're doing. No reasonable pastor should be comfortable with few. What did Jesus say? He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He wanted more. Say, I want more. Don't think I heard you say, I want more. Pray the Lord of the harvest. He uses a word of increase to send for laborers into his harvest. Say, I want more. So stop saying some unfortunate things, even if we are just 10 hearing the word. What does that mean? Even if we are just 20 hearing the word, what does it even mean? Even if we are just 2. So, some people came up with the doctrine of remnant. You know, when you say remnant in English, is when you finish food, the remnant. No, remnant has nothing to do with a small number. Remnant means those who are separate from others. It's not a number thing. You can never walk with the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can never walk with the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, and think small. You can't. Hallelujah. In the midst of any persecution, you should know the blessing is on you. Years ago, we had some folks, they practically made our meeting so bad. We hired a hall. And that hall, we had to use the stage. Because the hall was empty. You know, when you are preaching and you can hear the echo. No, you are not much. Because they had done a terrible publicity. Don't go this and not that. So I told those with us. I said, very soon, we're going to come back to this hall. And we're going to fill it up. Now it's not just making mouth. We're going to see that in a moment. I said, don't worry. I said, we're coming back to this hall. I said, it's not another one, this particular hall. And we're going to fill it up. Interestingly, when we came back, half of those I spoke to did not come with us. They said, we're going to be here. So we went back to the same place. We held in one venue, was a hotel. And the program, some of you were there, the program, the people were outside. So I smiled. I told, they didn't know the implication of what I was saying. I said, this is not where we're going to use the next time. We're going to use that hall. Because in my mind, when I see opposition, it's an opportunity to subdue. Hallelujah. We'll get that in a moment. You should love it. Right? You should love it. That you want to put the blessing to work. I said, we're coming here. The next time we were, the whole place was filled up. The interesting thing was that they did the same publicity, but it didn't work. Hallelujah. It was filled up. That's where Pastor Wally sang, God in man who died for man. Is that hall. Hallelujah. So we're coming back here. The same place. Why? Because you are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. The work of my hands are blessed. So watch what you say. Don't speak a curse. Don't speak a curse. Doesn't matter if you all go and there's nobody here. I will still serve God. They will go. Don't speak a curse. And that thing is, you know, a lot of people who claim to preach the word, they say those things carelessly. You saw what blessed means. It means to multiply. Someone said, if it's just 10, I'll take to heaven. Heaven will reject you. They will shut that heaven against you. If it's just 10. So I told one brother, I said, you know, he was thinking like that. I said, if you pastor, you know, if you pastor 20 people, right? And you pastor 1,000, both of you will see the same thing. It's just a number. Jesus had 12. And he had Judas. He had Peter. He had Thomas. Right? He didn't say, if I have just 12 in my cell, and I can have Judas, maybe we should spend some more time praying. He said, go into all the world. Hallelujah. That does not stop what you are doing. Hallelujah. Are you here? That's why it's so funny when a minister faces, he leaves his task and focuses on false teachers. You'll be busy for the rest of your life because false teachers no go end. Huh? Just like sin. So what, what's that, your focus? Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Hallelujah. So you must check the kind of things you say, how you think. Whatever you are doing. Just spend 1 minute now and begin to speak the blessing of God into it. Wherever you are. Even if it's just one disciple you have now, begin to speak the blessing. Say, I will multiply. Come on. Mention numbers. If you can't say it now, then you have a problem. Mention numbers. Say 1,000. I know you are still 5, but say 1,000. Say it. Say 5,000. Say 10,000. Say it. Say it. Open your mouth and say it. God talked to a barren woman. A father, a childless Abraham. He said, nations. God was talking to him about nations. Nations. Come on guys, speak. This is your hour. Don't be weak, say it. Say it. 2 will become 500. 500 will become 1,000. 1,000 will become 10,000. Say it. Say it. You are not fruitless. Say it. One day your fellowship, your cell, will build a tent like this. Say it! It's not bigger than God. When you say it, the Holy Ghost will bring it to pass. Because that is His will. Say it! Say it, say it, say it, say it. Start talking in hundreds, thousands. Start talking that way. Say it! Come on, say it. Ten centers, 20 branches, 100, 1,000, say it! The
This is your hour. Say it. Sit down. I've told you, stop saying we're a small church. What do you say? Neither should you say we're a large church. Say we are what? Don't say we're a large church. Mm-mm. Don't never be tempted. And I do that, except in advisory purposes. When people ask me, what is the number of your church? I say, we are growing. We are still on our way. What I'm saying millions. I'm thinking big. What about you? What about you? Because the blessing of God brings multiplication. Sit down. Multiplication. Don't say we're just a small church in one corner. Don't say that. Say we're a growing church. A growing church. We're making increase. We're multiplying. And we're growing. So that's the blessedness. If God could talk to a man, and you see, God used Abraham, a man who was childless. The guy is talking about one child, and God is talking about nations. Nations. And that you will know he's not talking about earthly things. He says, look at the stars. And if you know the Bible language, that's supernatural. Said, you cannot number them. So shall your seed be. That's the blessing of the Lord. So shall your disciples be. So shall your churches be. So shall your branches be. Sit down. That's what he told him. So, that must be how you pray, because it will reflect in how you are praying. And how you talk. That's why you will ward off distractions. Hallelujah. Because you are blessed. The blessedness of the Spirit is upon your ministry. So it becomes strange when you don't have to lie. You don't have to put a lie. You don't have to doctor the figures. It's not necessary. When you do that, you cut yourself off. Because you are no longer walking with the Spirit. You are 10. You say you are 12. Why did you say that? Are you saying that the power of the Holy Ghost cannot make you 12? Why did you have to say that? Some of us will pray, trust God for increase, then we'll lie about it. Why are you undoing your prayer? You're undoing it by yourself. It's not by power. It's not by might. But by the Spirit of God. You don't need to doctor figures. You don't need to round off 600 to 1,000. That gap is too far. 600 came and say, we're about 1,000. You're not about 1,000. You better say we're about 500. Don't say things like that. Because the numbers is not competition. Who are you competing with that you are adding 2 to 10? Don't curse yourself. Are you here? That is Saul, right? That's Saul. That's the spirit of Saul. Don't curse yourself. It will grow. If it's the power of the Holy Ghost, it will grow. Hallelujah. Years ago, I used to go and buy books. And I'll give people. I'll get books. So I personally created a correspondence
for people. And I said to someone, a friend of mine lately, I said, I'm doing this because I know someday in the whole world, people are going to read the things we're going to write. Hallelujah. I said, we're going to do that. And they will be asking questions. Because I used to create a question and answer. I think you were my first. Yeah, you were my first. That was in 97, right? Right, you were my first student. Then was when you said you didn't want to wear a ring. No, you didn't want to make your hair. Let me expose you a little bit. You were the one that said, God says you don't wear trousers. It was you. You were the one. Is it a ring? No, it's trousers. It's trousers that you said you saw a dream. It's you. It's going to 20. That next year will be 26 years, I think. Yes. Early next year. You know? And I used to answer questions. I would write questions. That's Kenneth Copeland books, right? And E.W. Kenyon books. Yes. I'll go and buy them. And I'll give people. And I said, I know someday people are going to be doing this with things I've written. And it's going to happen more and more and more in decades and decades to come. You see, your mind must be full of God's greatness. Do you know who you are serving? El Shaddai. That is who he is. He's too big for you to think small. You are preaching and standing on behalf of the Almighty God. Yorubas have a saying, I don't know how to say it in English. It's the person who sent you that you are afraid of. Not the person you are going to. It's God who sent you. Hallelujah. When we have this mindset, there will be no need for competition. Why do we have competition? It's a small mind. There was a guy like that. He's one of my recent, the guy, I just saw him write against a preacher. He put it on his WhatsApp or something. And you know this kind of stupid thing, you'll be using your WhatsApp to be sending subs. It's actually mental health issues. Why are you doing that? You will not be reading in some people. Why is this some people? Who are the people? And the guy said, he was in a particular city in Nigeria. He said, some of you, you don't want your members to come and hear us. Don't worry. The world is growing. The world is growing. They will hear us. So I asked him, I said, why did you write this? He said, there's one guy like that. He said, he's told his members not to listen to me. So I asked him, I said, how many people are in this church? He said, about 1,000. I said, good. He said, how many people are in your city? He said, well, between 2 million and 3 million. Your mind is so small. You know, if that 1,000 raptures, people may not know. Your mind is so small. 1,000. And you are fighting like this. It's wrong to fight, but even if you are going to sin well. 1,000. That's what you are fighting over. You have a problem. You have a problem. A huge one. It's people that are living in a curse that go to steal members. It's a curse. We have 8.8 billion, I'm told, or 8 billion people in the world. The church you are fighting, maybe there are just 500 members. Why are you thinking like a cursed person? God gave you the whole world. You are fighting over a street. Are you cursed? He gave you the nations. You are fighting over a campus fellowship. They put their poster here. I have lived with people. Me and two other guys will put the poster ourselves. Somebody will come and tear it in our. We'll wait for him to go. We'll put it back. Do you understand? Who are you fighting? 1,000. And he was writing an article. Over 1,000. And this happens to a lot of the world churches I know. The moment they see a church, 20,000, they start to say, it's not about numbers. It's a mindset that is cursed. Cursed. They are usually not uncomfortable when they see Muslims at the Kaaba. In their hundreds of thousands, it's when they see church. Don't mind it. They're just going there to see a man. To see a man. It's not Jesus. If it's Christ centered, shut up your mouth! The thinking is cursed! Go into all the world. 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 If you are going, you cannot be criticizing. If you are going, keep going. It's a cursed thinking. Cursed. Hallelujah. It's a cursed thinking. They're fighting over, and you see people on social media, they are writing against each other. It's because of this thing, no? It's a cursed thinking. Writing, some people, and they're all fighting over, maybe somebody has 10,000 followers. 10,000. 10,000 followers. Most of them don't even know him. And then you're fighting. When the guy has 1,000 likes. Likes. Start to write article. Article. It's not every like that is of God. Watch what you like. Why are you cursed? Why are you cursed? Watch what you like. Watch what you like. It's not every... Your mindset is too small. There are millions that are yet to hear your voice and they will hear it. That is how to think. That is how to think. Don't have a small mind. And watch the kind of people you relate with. My friends know me. We don't sit down to discuss people. I won't even allow you. It's a way to walk in the curse. You start bringing envy, jealousy. Jealousy. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. God said to Abraham, he said, can you number them? He called Jacob the same thing. He said, all the nations. God is talking about nations. You are fighting over 200. Are you well? 8 billion. 8 billion. 8 billion. You know what 8 billion is? 8 billion human beings. Out of it, they can only account for less than 1 billion who are charismatic, maybe 2 point something billion who are believers. So you still have about 5 billion plus. 5 billion. 5 billion. And you are doing Facebook war. Over 1,000 likes. Is there any other thing that is cost like that? Say, I'm blessed. In this conference, your mind will be enlarged. By the power of the Holy Ghost. You will never be satisfied with small. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Your priorities have changed. You are not distracted. You are not distracted. You are not distracted. Sit down. You say, redeemed. Why is redeemed planting churches everywhere? Did they stop you? Why are they having churches everywhere? Have they stopped you? Did they stop you? No. The man of God said he wants every family to have a member of his church. You say, what's that? Is that not the Abraham's blessing? Must it be him? It's like I checked something on Facebook just was it last night. As soon as Lionel Messi won World Cup, So people started talking about Pele. When did Pele start coming to the equation? Do you know some things are just unnecessary? I mean, this is not spiritual. He celebrates the guy, you know. The Pele is called the, you were not born then. No? You know, it's so funny. You don't have to diminish anyone to celebrate another person. It's wrong. You know, the Messi fan said, yes, sir. I know, I think I heard Pastor Pukwala's voice. Do you know, you don't have to. As you are growing, we are growing. We are not enough. All of us doing this work, we've not scratched the surface. Why are you uncomfortable? And God will use people outside your clique. Forget it. Who are you? He will use people that wear white garments. Get used to it. Who are you to tell him what to do? Who are you? You can't even tell your children what to do. You want to tell God what to do? As who? He will use people that you don't like. Get used to it. I told you yesterday, Samuel was still lamenting over Saul. He said, bro, what's up? I have another person there. I don't have time for all this, help me to raise my chicken. Get going. Elijah was saying, I'm the only one left. I'm depressed. My mind is going. He said, who told you? He said, have they hacked your Facebook? He said, go around very well. There are still many prophets who have not bowed their knees. And he's not talking all over the world, in his nation, that he didn't know. So you know, we are the ones that would, we are the ones that would champion the world in this country. Better give yourself brain, at least a small one. Huh? Think big. Say, I think big. Say, I think big.
I think big.
I think numbers.
I think numbers.
High numbers.
High numbers.
Large numbers. Heavy figures. Think that way. You won't have time. You won't have time for petty issues. You won't have time for petty issues. At all. You won't have that kind of time. For petty issues. The energy some people use to fight people, if they use it for ministry, they will be more fulfilled. Brother Hagin will say, why are you always against something? Why are you not for something? You are always against something. You are always up against something. You are not for something. Be for something. Say, I'm for growth. I'm for increase. Say, the blessing of the Spirit brings increase. Hallelujah. I told you, when we say the word is growing, it's not that we are having insight. That my God, when the guy finished with the scriptures, and he was done with the exegesis, the word is growing. That's a bad mindset. The word is growing, right? Is when the halls are packed out. The word is growing is when we are pulling down the auditorium to build another one. The word is growing is when we are looking for a venue. Because the venues, we have a venue problem. Not because they chase us out where we are, but we have a venue problem. We're doing, where are we going to use now? And we have to leave the whole place. That's the word is growing. Job Oyedepo said that. He told himself that the kind of thing he wants to do, that there will be no space within Lagos. You know, that's a way to think. So look at how many people go that distance. That distance. And you are a word man. You quote scripture, you do. And you can't see something in that. to give yourself to, so that what you are preaching, what you are saying, can raise more and more and more. Change how you are thinking. Are you here? Don't be celebrating your insight into the world. What is it for? Ah, you know, I say, the kind of things we understand in this ministry, we are not like those ministries. The kind of things we understand, our understanding is superior. Yet, the same set of people you see yourselves. Ah, there was a church like that who leave the house, all of us, to church, and we will go and do service and go back. The same set. Ah, one day I say, ah, what's going on? Ah, why did we just stay at home? That's not a gathering anymore. Let's go out. There are millions untold. And the same set of people, they will still be criticizing the government for not taking care of the youth. The youth, see the youth. The youth are now into drugs. The youth are now into cocaine. The youth are now into this one. After they are done with the government, they face other churches. You say, in fact, some churches today, you see their members. Some of their members, they are into drugs. He has criticized government. He has criticized those who are trying to help those who are into drugs. Is he not into drugs? No, that is a drug addict. You say it's government that is causing it. The churches that are now reaching out to them. Because you are still seeing so, those guys, they are still having those traces. You say, you see, is that a church? Is that a church? So who is the church? The five people in your bedroom. You are living in a curse. You are living in a curse. Because the blessing says, can you number them? So shall thy seed be. As you are planning for 2023, plan for increase. Plan for more people. More people will be on the streets preaching the gospel. It's not just the three of you that will be doing it in 2023. It's not just the 10 of you that will be doing it. It will multiply. You are not barren. You are fruitful. You are increasing. You are increasing. You are blessed. So you must see what God sees. You must see what God sees. What happened to Abraham? He changed his name. You change what you are saying. He changed his name. He now started to reflect the prophecy. He now started to reflect the word over his life. So you must learn to align your words with the voice of the Spirit. You must align your words. We are not struggling to grow. We are moving on. We are expanding. Align your words with what God has said. Align your words. When you are giving an announcement, talk like that. When you are leading prayer, talk like that. When you are talking to workers, talk like that. When you are singing, talk like that. Align your words with what God has said. Don't just say, I'm blessed. And then when life circumstances come, you will say something else. You will say what God is saying. You will say what God is saying. Sit down. You'll be saying what He is saying. In hard times, in difficult times, you will say what He is saying. So what is the plan to multiply? 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 You have one person they are bringing to church. What is the plan to multiply? You have five people. What is the plan to multiply? Certain things like, you know, this venue, I'm sure in 2 years we'll have left it. Talk like that. Someone say, are you not boasting? No, I'm only saying what God is saying. If it looks arrogant to you, take it like that. I told some folks I was preaching for, I said, you people are here. When I came a few years ago, it's the same people I saw. What are you doing? What are you doing here? This is not God's plan. There was someone like that. I think I must have said it in the last meeting. We were talking. And the person said, I said, okay, since you are you're like going from one state to another, say you are leaving this state, maybe Lagos, or you are going to or your state, this fellowship that you have started, so how do you intend to oversee it from or your state since you are leaving Lagos? The person said, I don't have such plans, sir. I said, why? You know, I'm not for empire. I said, what did you just say? You are not for what? I just want this empire. I just want to have control. I said, who taught you this nonsense? Where did you hear it from? And the person lies and says, I'm his pastor. I'm the pastor. I'm not your pastor. We don't talk like that here. You don't want empire. I said, but, so you have an extra church is an empire. I said, but we have, he said, you are different, sir. I said, stop that nonsense. Who are you patronizing? So you don't want empire. Ha. Ha. What demon attacked you? I don't want empire. And the same set of people, they will want to do retreats. They will go to RCCG camp. Is it not empire that built it? Don't you like this place? Is it not a good empire? See, I don't like empire. Look at the thinking. Sound doctrine. Sound system. Nonsense. I said, what did you just say? I said, your problem is you are joining the gang of people who were teaching against submission. Honor. Loyalty. That's what your problem is. So the chicken has come home to roost. It is your sins that are finding you out. That's what is finding you out. Hallelujah. May you not talk yourself out of God's blessing. Because some of us will speak against what should work for us. We'll now be looking for it. Something you spoke against that should be working for you is now working against you. Are you here? Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, our work is blessed. The ministry is blessed. Our meetings are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Say, we are blessed. Say, we are blessed. Say, we are blessed. So never should you associate that blessing with material things. Don't cut yourself off. Sit down. Don't do it. I'm not saying you should not appreciate material things. If you buy a new building, thank God for it. If you buy cars, thank God for it. But your blessing consciousness is in multiplication of men. It means that whatever you are doing, you are looking forward to a day not too long from now where many more will be replicating what you are doing. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are not cursed. You are not cursed. So you multiply. Jesus saw 12 guys. Young boys. Some of them are just built out of him. He spent 40 days with them. So now, you know what? He will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, these are guys that they don't even have passports. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, He said, hey, that was Samaria. Peter, you don't go Samaria before. He said, I don't go. My uncle, when I was 6 years old, he said, have you been to here? I passed by. He said, they were sitting in Samaria. Oh, thank God for Samaria. He said, unto the uttermost parts of the world. Say, the Lord is not even asking whether we have passports. He's not even asking whether we have visa. He's not even asking whether we can transport ourselves there. It makes no difference. I align myself with what God is saying. I align myself with what God is saying. This church is growing. This fellowship is growing. This work is growing. These disciples are growing. These men are multiplying. Sit down. Everywhere you have been opposed, just walk in love. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't revenge. When it's not revenging, you are walking in a curse. Don't revenge. Don't do clap back. All those things are childish and demonic. Just stay focused. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Be focused. I tell Brother Tokes this. One of the greatest counsels he has given me ever. He says in Yoruba. He says, Shegun, let's face our work. You know? Let's face our work. Let's face our work. Because see, there's nobody that argues against results, sir. There's nobody. You just be complaining inside. But if you get distracted, you are doing clap, you are responding. Someone say, is it true you are preaching false doctrine? I say it's true. So I will not sit down with someone like that. I'll be arguing, no, it's not false doctrine. It's 1 hour ago, 2 hours ago, 3 hours. Say, let's continue tomorrow. And you are saying you are not growing. How can you grow? You are distracted. Is it true you are saying? Yes. You mean that you are right. Anything you say is right. Anything you say is right. But is he right? He has said he is not right. There was a guy that came to meet me. He's not a bad guy. He's still my friend. But we were in the church together. So we had stopped having services. So he came to meet me. He didn't tell me because there was no phone then. So he said, I came to see you. It's about church. I said, don't say it. I'm not going to entertain this conversation. He said, why? Don't I? I said, don't worry. You want to leave? He said, not just me. I said, you can leave. That's all I know what I'm saying. When I say you can leave, everybody had actually left. So it's not like we had a good number of people. No, I said, you can leave. If somebody had known for years. I said, I came all the way to share with you. I said, did I ask you to come? You came on your own now. And it was in the hot sun. He said, I don't believe this is the spirit of Christ. I said, pray for me. I'm sure one day he's going to hear this. He'll be laughing because he's my friend. We still talked 2 weeks ago. He said, so what do I do? I said, go back. I didn't ask you to come. He said, but let me tell you something before you leave. We'll be fine. I didn't even know who the we were. But I said, we'll be fine. My mind is too much into God's plan to be distracted by such things. Even if I make mistakes, I will correct it. I'm growing. I will correct it. Shubha, not to grow. That won't happen. We will grow. We will multiply. And as we are doing it, the corrections will be coming. We will be adjusting. We will be getting better. But we will not stop growing. We've made errors. We will correct it. We have the Holy Ghost. He will guide us. He will encourage us. But we will not stop growing. Have you? God is not waiting for us to get everything right before we grow. We are growing as we are growing, as we are growing, as we are growing, as we are growing. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
sit down. The person came for one of our camp meetings. He said, see what the Lord has done. I didn't want him to feel bad. I wanted to remind him. Now, you know, I told you, we'll be fine. And I didn't just say it to go and sleep. We'll get to the big part of this teaching. Then to go and sleep, say, we'll be fine, we'll be fine. Then you put on Netflix. They have cost you. You say you will be fine. You now went to watch Netflix. Ah! Ah! Oganla, you are finished too. When you say that, you now start the walk. What did he say after? Subdue. You saw it. Replenish. Have dominion. It won't happen like tea and bread. No, sir. I know that with the vision God is giving us, there are battles to fight. And we are ready. By the power of the Holy Ghost. There are battles to fight. He says, the third one, he said, be fruitful, multiply. Then he said, replenish. That word, malay, it means to cover ground. To cover ground. Now, why did he say that? Don't forget that Genesis 1:2 says there was tohu wavohu. You must, you see, if you don't connect verse 2 to verse 28, you miss what he's saying. There is replenishing. You need to fill up the expanse to replenish. Then he says, look at a third one. He says, subdue. The word kabash. Now, that word subdue, I checked it, is in 14 places in the Old Testament. In Numbers 32 and 22 and verse 29, pay attention. Numbers 32 verse 22. Numbers 32 verse 29, Joshua 18:1, 2 Samuel 8 verse 11, 1 Chronicles 22 verse 18, I'll take it again, Numbers 32 verse 22 and verse 29, Joshua 18:1, 2 Samuel 8 verse 11, 1 Chronicles 22 verse 18, it means to take places, it's a territorial statement, places. So as a church, start talking about places, territories. If you are in a nation, the states, provinces. If you are in a state, the local government. If you are in a local government, maybe the different streets and estates. Start talking about places. Subdue. Subdue, kabash. So that means there is war. This is the kingdom language. Take over places. Then he says here. He says, have dominion. Have dominion. Have dominion. Why is he talking about dominion? Because in verse 2, darkness had covered the earth. Gross darkness its people. So we are up against the forces of darkness. You are up against the forces of darkness. But Jesus triumphed over them. And he gave us authority. And the authority of the believer is not just important. It is necessary. So which means you must take the believer's authority seriously. Your authority over the forces of darkness. Your authority over evil. I recall a preacher told me something one day. And when he was talking, I said to him, I replied him. I was on the phone. We are friends. Now, I said to Yoruba, I said, Dakwada, return it. So what do you mean? I said exactly what I said. I said, I'm not rude. You said something negative about the work of the ministry in my hands. I condemned it. Say, every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you condemn. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Those are the times you shut yourself in the room. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn. The man who later apologized, but it makes no difference. I've been in meetings where people got up and they were giving prophecy. Prophecy. In fact, Rotus was reminding me of the year, was it, he said, this is exactly 24 years ago. I said, Rotus and dates. He said, 24 years ago. And we shook our heads. Oh, give me prophecy. Prophecy. I was saying, and I therefore see. I see. And I was saying, he said, the Lord is saying, one of them, he said, in 5 years, their ministry will close down. In 5 years, a ministry we had not even started. He said, in 5 years, they will not be. She was in the meeting. In 5 years, no, I think they started with 10, then they moved to 5. That's how the Holy Ghost moved. He said, no, in 5 years, they won't be alive. I laughed. See, this was a mad. All of them, we live together now. We laugh. But we know what had happened. We talk. Some of them even know we relate. And I was laughing. But I didn't stop laughing. I didn't stop with laughing. It's time to fight.
You don't just laugh and go and sit down and go and be watching World Cup. Are they giving you share in World Cup?
Say, So, because what I heard was what the devil wanted. And I said, no. You must know how to fight those battles. David, before he met Goliath, said, I've seen the lion and the bear. If you run on a house cell, you will never be able to stand any other thing. It's from there you stop, you will start standing. That no. Immediately fasting begins. Immediately you start to pray. And you know the kind of prayer, you'll be praying in tongues and sleeping. You are not yet serious. I'm saying you will not start doing vigils. That no. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing dies in my hands. Sit down. One of them, after the 5 years, I went to see him. I did. I did. The other one, after 10 years, it was the one that invited me to come and preach for him. I still did. He used to pray. I will pray. To stand on my authority as a believer. As a believer. The believer's authority is for the work of the ministry. It's not to get contract. It's for the work of the ministry. Say, behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions. Authority and power over serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You must be ready. Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of... See, it's not time to be writing statements. We're replying, you have gotten in the flesh. Satan has you where he wants you. You are now arguing. See what they say? I don't like what they say. Yeah. Nothing. And now, they will now get you to start preaching about what they are saying on your pulpit. Ah! That arrow don't hit you. You never see, I know some of you know people speak, you've never seen me use our pulpit to attack anybody. I've got too much rank for that. Where I deal with those issues is in my closet. That's where you deal with that. You pray. You hear from God. And you make sure that you love those people. You don't speak evil of them. You don't speak against them. You don't try to walk against them. That means you are walking in the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Meetings like this, don't miss it. Shut down 5 days. Come in here. There are battles ahead. There are territories to cover. Shut down. This is why you just shut down. You are now 1,000. Is that the end? You are now 10,000. Is that the end? You are now 100,000. Is that the end? That's not the end. That's not the end. So you don't stop praying as though you had a destination you were going to. Start to pray. Those are the times you take things seriously. And you need those times. There is no time that deepens your prayer life like hardship. You need it. You need those things. You need that opposition. You need it. Don't be too comfortable. You need things that can drive your prayer life. Some of us are than deep in the prayer life. We are now complaining. We are looking for pity. Who pity help? You deepen your prayer life. You engage the forces of God's power. That's what you do. It says subdue. Subdue it. Take authority. Take dominion. Hallelujah. As you leave this conference, you are going back to take authority. Take authority. To take your place. As a king in that nation. As a ruler in that territory. You take your place. You take your place. That's what you are leaving this place to do. When you say this, our church venue, always add for now. For now. Because we are going to have another one. That one will feel we have another one. To take authority. Take your place in your nation. Take your place in your city. Take your place in your country. In your province, in your state, in your territory. Sit down. So I wrote here, I said, increase is a must. Increase is what? Why? Because we are blessed to multiply. Shegun must multiply. Mention your name. Shegun must multiply. I must multiply. I must multiply. I'm not a church member alone. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a vessel for increase. Shegun must multiply. Mention your own name. Don't mention my own. I'm saying for myself. Must multiply. More people must be doing what I'm doing. They must be in thousands, tens of thousands. He said, a corn of wheat, except it's planted, it falls down to the ground. He said, it abides alone. I will never abide alone. So we'll give what it takes. The sacrifice it takes. The prayer that it takes. Because after saying, be fruitful, multiply, he now says you will cover this space. By subduing the nations. By taking dominion. So there is work to be done. There's work to be done. I preached a sermon, I think that must have been 1997, December. It's one of the sermons that I think my friends will refer a lot there. I said, it's time to work. It's time to work. So stop congratulating yourself. We had one camp, Bell and Chamber, 1998 March. And so when we're done, you know, the meeting, a lot of things, you know. So when we finished the meeting, I was basically the organizer, but it wasn't the ministry that was I was just a director, as we called ourselves then. So when the meeting was over, we met in the University of Baden, then I think it was in the hall. And then everybody was now saying, what a great meeting. What a beautiful meeting. Here's a meeting. And that meeting. Here's a meeting. I said, can I say something? I said, is that our potential? I said, all of us here. I mentioned all of them one by one. I said, we all gathered in that hall. I said, and interestingly, and I wasn't trying to boast, I said, over half of those who came, I brought them from Lagos. What are we doing? Someone said, you are too harsh. I said, no. Why are we congratulating ourselves? What have we done? What have we done? I said, let us forget that camp meeting now. Let's now ask, what are we taking from there? What should we have done that we did not do? What did we do that we should not have done? Later on, they said I was too difficult and all that. And I said to them, I think Pastor Lau was there. I said, if you don't heed what I'm saying, that will be our last camp meeting. And it was. Don't congratulate yourself. It's only God who rewards. Focus on Him. It's God who rewards. He's the one who sent you. Don't start saying, what are you celebrating? I'm not saying you should not give thanks to God for growth and increase, but be very measured about it. Because the journey is still very far. You are blessed. And there's work to be done. So wherever you are today, and you are struggling with increase, you are actually not struggling with increase. You are struggling with warfare. I want you to pray about it now. That I'm ready to engage in the fight. I'm ready to engage in it. I'm ready. 100 must become 200. 200 must become 500.